Hi, everyone. Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Last Monday morning, the markets were dealing with DeepSeek news. Today, investors are dealing with the announcement of new tariffs and the risk of a trade war. Markets are reacting negatively this morning, with the S&P 500 futures down about 1.5%. In addition to tariffs, investors are still assessing the implications of DeepSeek for the AI investment thesis. Here to discuss all of this and these issues is Jason Dreho, Head of Asset Allocation Americas. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Siobhan. Happy Monday. Good to be here.
Perfect. Let's get started. On Saturday, President Trump announced tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. Can you take us through the details and what CIO expects next?
All right. So Trump signed an executive order to apply a 25% tariff on imports from Canada, Mexico. In Canada, there's only a 10% tariff on energy imports like oil and gas. And there's also a 10% import applied to imports from China. These tariffs are on top of the existing tariffs. So for China, when there is already tariffs applied to 25% on certain goods, this will be incremental to that. Whereas for Canada and Mexico, these are generally all new tariffs. In addition to these tariffs on these three countries, Trump has also said last week and even reiterated last night that tariffs are coming soon to the EU, the European Union, as well as specific goods such as semiconductors, steel, copper, aluminum, and pharmaceuticals. Like our base case, at the start of the Trump administration, it was that tariffs would be aggressive, but they would be directed primarily at China, meaning, that the tariff rate could go up to 60% on some goods. And outside of China, a tariff supply would be more selective in certain areas and certain products, not across the board. We also expected that the moves would be a little bit, more delayed or elongated. A few weeks ago, the administration, before they even took office, had issued an executive or memorandum of understanding directing certain agencies such as the Treasury Department, Commerce Department, trade, to look at trade practices, issues, and then report back by April 1st. So I think the initial market reaction was this will, take some time before tariffs move forward. So the announcement on Saturday and the potential for more tariffs, really in a matter of a couple of weeks in other countries, is certainly more aggressive than we expected. The way I think we would classify it is, from relative to our base case, it's trending more towards our bear case, which is a universal tariff on all imports of at least 10%. And if you put a 25% tariff on goods from Canada, Mexico, more than 25% on goods from China, the three biggest trading partners, you're already covering a big chunk of imports into the U.S. So it's trending in that direction. Look, there's going to be an economic cost to this because ultimately tariffs, particularly applied this way and sort of, somewhat aggressively and quickly, this is directly stagflationary, meaning it's negative for growth and negative for inflation. There's a wide range of estimates, depends on what models are used and what assumptions are made exactly. But if assuming these tariffs are implemented and maintained for the full year, you could see relative to a baseline expectation or forecast, assuming no tariffs, that inflation could be a half a percentage point higher, give or take a few tenths of a percent, maybe up to as much as one full percentage point. And growth could be reduced by half a percent. And again, it could be a little bit less than that, but easily estimates could suggest it could go up to like one full percentage point. For context, the consensus forecast right now for the U.S. economy is growth this year around 2.4, 2.5% of GDP growth. So you're talking about, below 2%, 1.5% type of growth if these tariffs are fully implemented and maintained all year. And likewise, inflation, instead of going down to like 2.5% or lower, it could easily, go back up over to 3%. Now, we assume right now that these tariffs on Canada and Mexico, they actually won't be sustained for a long time, in part because there is these economic costs. You'll see, various industries being impacted, potentially auto plants, which are one of the most impacted areas, potentially shutting down in a matter of weeks just because the cost of these tariffs on goods going back and forth across the border would basically make it uneconomical for these companies to produce in certain cases. We're also likely to see U.S. industry groups, representing impacted companies filing court challenges and lobbying for the removal. And so ultimately, we think they won't be sustained for a long period of time. It's also, what we've known, what's been announced, is that Trump will be speaking to Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, and Claudia Sheinbaum, the President of Mexico, today. So depending on how those conversations go, there's only a chance that the tariffs aren't actually implemented, because the executive order was signed Saturday, but they're supposed to take effect starting tomorrow, February 4th. But whereas a lot of the motivation that's been, that's aligned to why these tariffs are applied, trying to curtail imports of fentanyl into the U.S. from those countries, curtail the illegal immigration. Those are certainly factors, but Trump has also linked it, the tariffs to the fact that there's trade deficits with both countries. And those aren't easy to remediate quickly, versus you can demonstrate progress on immigration, on fentanyl, and sort of come into the country. But trade deficits, those could take quarters, if not years, to alleviate. So it's certainly possible that it might be a little bit too optimistic to think these tariffs will be removed quickly. So for the near term, it feels like, the trend is that the tariff situation will get worse before it actually gets better. But it's very fast moving, and a lot of it comes down to what President Trump wants to do. And of course, today, based on the calls, the tariffs, there's a possibility that they're not actually implemented. So a lot going on. It's moving very quickly. It's more than what our base case assume. It's trending more towards our bear case, but the situation is very fluid, and things could flip around in a matter of hours, or if not days.
So last week, we also got more important economic data on growth and inflation. What does that say about the state of the U.S. economy?
So we kind of lost a lot of headlines last week with some more economic data. And this is the silver line of the whole story, is that the U.S. economy is in good shape. And it certainly supports a constructive medium term, 12-month outlook for financial markets. It's perhaps also why, given that the U.S. economy is in good shape, why Trump and the administration feel somewhat confident about moving forward and even potentially having a negative cost to the economy, because it's in this position where it can absorb it. So the data we got last week was both on growth and inflation. The specific growth data was Q4 GDP, which came in at 2.3%. But this actually understates the strength of the economy and what the number could have been, because consumption grew 4.2%, one of the strongest quarters in a few years. And what dragged down GDP growth at the very last minute was some import data for December that was kind of higher than expected. And this contributed to inventories actually subtracting 0.9% from GDP. What it appears like is that companies anticipating the implementation of tariffs, particularly from China, they're front running that, they're importing more. That actually goes into inventories. And so it actually looks like, that would sort of drag down growth, even though sometimes it's not really reflective of what's the underlying economic activity. So overall story that's consistent with other data we've gotten in recent weeks is the U.S. economy is in good shape. It's growing in the 2.5 to 3% range. The consumer is healthy right now. You're seeing sort of pick up in manufacturing activity. Again, this assumes no disruptions from tariffs or other factors. So a good situation, and barring policy errors or some unexpected shock, there's not a lot of reason to think it's going to slow significantly this year. On the inflation front, on Friday, we got December PC inflation, which is what the Fed focuses on. It was generally aligned with expectations. The core PC measure that the Fed really focuses on rose 0.16% on a month-over-month basis, and is basically 2.8% year-over-year, which was what expected. But if you actually look at the three-month inflation rate, like how much core PC has increased in the last 3 months, and you annualize it, it's down to 2.15%. You take the last 6 months of core PC inflation, how much it's increased, and you annualize it, it's 2.26%, so 2.25%, less than the 2.8% on a year-over-year basis. So what it's telling us is you get sort of more kind of higher frequency data in more recent months, that the core inflation is actually trending lower. So fears of inflation reaccelerating, it's certainly not evident in the data. So you add it up, it's a good picture for the U.S. economy, with growth being strong, inflation still generally moving in the right direction, disinflationary. The economy that can certainly is positioned to be able to absorb a hit to growth and higher inflation from tariffs, but certainly not completely immune to it at this point in time.
Turning over to AI, a week after DeepSeek news rolled markets, what is the assessment of how this development will impact the AI investment thesis?
Well, in some way, that was the big story last week, and even reading your various research over the weekend, it seemed to be that a lot of investors in the markets were still very much focused on DeepSeek and AI, and then how this could impact the markets overall, how it could impact the companies, which is understandable, because the biggest performers or the strongest performers in the markets for the past couple of years have been these mega cap tech companies, NVIDIA, driving a lot of the market higher. So as you get this new AI model that can be, have very good results, but developed at a fraction, or apparently at a fraction of the cost, could disrupt or certainly challenges the whole AI investment thesis and the investment case for a lot of these companies. But as the week went on and investors started to kind of ask more questions and understand more of how the model was developed, what are the implications, where does this fit in the overall picture, I'd say three kind of key points have emerged, you know, from it. One is that these emergence of lower cost models like DeepSeek, already kind of aligns with the industry cost trends and does not necessarily materially change the overall growth outlook for the industry. So the development of these large language models, it was getting more efficient, cheaper. Think of it, there's a cost curve, and where DeepSeek sort of aligned to it is kind of consistent with those cost trends. So again, it seemed like a big change in terms of the cost to develop these models. But for those who have been tracking this closely, suggest, no, this is, where we expected this model development to go anyway. And there are some questions about whether it was as cheap as DeepSeek suggested, if they were already building these models or their model on existing models and perhaps using some technology that sort of understated or more than they actually suggested the cost. But that's the key point, is that the cost aspect, wasn't shocking given the overall trends in the industry. So that's the first point. The second point is that there's been enormous CapEx spend to build out AI data centers to both test the models and develop these models, but also for inference. And that still seems to be for a lot of the industry, a lot of investment is going on towards developing large language models, but to have data centers to be able to run inference. So whether individuals go and do queries, ask questions, create prompts using the AI tools. And by the end of the week, it was clear from that, especially after earnings for some of the mega cap companies, that among the big tech companies that are most focused on AI, which includes Alphabet or Google, Amazon, Meta, Facebook, and Microsoft, that they're still likely to increase capital spending by a combined 25% this year, up to $280 billion. There is no indication that they're going to dial this back. So that trend still seems very much in place, despite the developments and seeming sort of like step change forward in the AI technology that DeepSeek demonstrated last week. And the third sort of key takeaway, was that if you have cheaper large language models, that actually democratizes AI. It makes it easier to and justifiable to develop tools and applications for companies to make investments. So there can actually also be more demand for AI tools, such that the overall revenue in the industry could actually increase. And last week, the term Jevons paradox was tossed around a lot for something that people may not have heard before. But the basic idea is that it's actually suggesting as the cost comes down, the demand can increase enough that the overall revenue, the total addressable market, could actually go higher. So the end of the week, that sort of seems to be where the industry sort of took away this news, is that it's consistent. DeepSeek's consistent with declining cost trends. This wasn't sort of a complete surprise and game changer. The CapEx spend, for these big mega cap companies is still very strong in terms of investing, and I think that's across the board. And this just actually cheaper AI models means that the demand and the adoption could actually increase and grow even faster, and sort of reinforcing the overall NVA investment thesis. So a very choppy, volatile week, but the end takeaway is that the view that certainly our team at CIO has is that the AI story remains very much intact. The way to play it and position for it, of course, can evolve over time, but as a general theme, it's still very much in play at this point in time.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, Jason, and I want to bring this all together. What does the tariff, AI, and economic news mean for the economic outlook?
Well, let's just start maybe from the economic outlook. I alluded to a good economy is the baseline, but clearly at risk now of being disrupted in terms of a negative impacts to growth or inflation. And the magnitude is going to come down to just how long these tariffs are put in place and how broadly additional tariffs are applied. The longer and more, the worse the outcome overall, and that's there's no getting around that. We could certainly go from our base case of growth with tariffs to something that more like that. This is a tariff shock that really puts the growth trajectory at risk. That still seems more of the risk case than the base case, but the probability is kind of been sort of shifted in real time and could shift back at almost at any moment. From the market's perspective, it becomes a little bit trickier, because if I look at market performance last week across equities, fixed income, currencies, there's two kind of key takeaways that I would have from it. One is that there was a modest risk-off tone to markets last week. Understandable, given the news flow in aggregate was directionally negative for the economy, but also earnings, given the DeepSeek news, and the market sort of to absorb that. So we saw last week that the S&P was down 1%, and the tech sector was down 4.5%. The 10-year Treasury yield last week fell 8 basis points, and the dollar also rallied. But a second and perhaps a bigger thing in terms of the outlook is that the markets and equities in particular seemed to be relatively complacent on the macro risks of higher tariffs. While investors are more focused on the micro risk of AI and sort of individual stocks. So just think last week, the VIX index, the index for volatility in the market, sort of the kind of quasi fear gauge, rose a little bit during the week, but it closed at a level of 16.4 on Friday, which was actually less than where it was for most of the first 2 weeks of January. So certainly relatively contained. In contrast, if you actually looked at the volatility of individual S&P 500 stocks and took the average last week, it was nearly 30 points higher volatility versus the volatility for the overall S&P 500 index. It's rarely that high. Like the last time it was like this high was in November of 2020, and it's one of the top 10 biggest gaps in the past 25 years. What that was suggesting, there's a lot of movement on the individual stocks, but not for the overall market, because the investors think we're relatively complacent on the trade risks. The movements we're seeing on Monday morning before the markets open is clearly a different direction. We're seeing volatility. You jump, we're seeing futures down, over 1%, 1.5% for the S&P. So consistent with the market sort of, adapting to this kind of new reality. In the near term, it does feel like is the market sort of digest this news and still kind of get news on whether the tariffs are fully implemented, whether tariffs are soon implemented across Europe and specific industries. The risk reward at the moment just feels like it's a little bit more skewed to the downside in the next couple of days, weeks, maybe a couple of months, as this sort of plays out, just because the implications for the economy have not been sort of priced in. Medium term, the fundamentals still remain solid for the U.S. And ultimately, again, if the tariff situation doesn't fully escalate to our risk case, it kind of dials back to our base case that tariffs do go higher on China. But for other regions, other countries, they're more contained and even maybe kind of dialed back. The ultimate economic impact is something that the U.S. economy can absorb, that corporate earnings for U.S. companies are not dramatically impacted, and ultimately still see upside, for year end. Again, driven partly because the AI thesis still remains in track. But in the near term, that's the challenge, I think, for the markets. We think and would expect that as the markets pull back, as the S&P 500 pulls back, there will be buyers come in. We saw that last week. Retail buyers were stepping in for the tech sector after it sold off. Something would probably happen similar to equity markets overall. But relying on a Fed or Trump put, I think there's probably more downside before that actually gets materialized. Big picture, though, we see upside ultimately to year end for equities, given how I think the tariff scenario will play out. We still like the tech sector and the AI theme in general. For fixed income, remaining up in quality because credit has also not been pricing in and a lot of kind of tariff risk and kind of growth risks there. Given how much yields have pulled back even a little bit before the tariff news, would be cautious on extending duration too much, because if this pulls back, there could be sort of also a reaction for sort of inflationary news in the market, so you could see yields go higher. So being more in the belly of the curve, the 5-year duration point is where we still target. I mean, up in quality, higher quality corporate credit, agency MBS, or areas that we like. And then also just as a hedge, gold as a kind of risk-off diversifier is something we like. And this morning it is up, 0.5%. And it has sort of, both fundamental and sort of technical reasons why it can continue to go higher. So go for gold is also a key theme that we have overall. But be prepared for volatility. Have a game plan of how you want to deploy capital still early in the year. There'll be opportunities for pullbacks, but realize that, the markets are going to be trying to assess what's the likelihood of this tariff situation escalating to be something that's more negative for the overall investment outlook, because it's not sort of priced there. And the news flow, as we saw last week, could change very quickly, daily or even hourly in some cases.
Okay, perfect. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.